is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome to each and every one of you to the show. Today's show is awesome. My guest is Bill Sweet, A Journey into Prayer. Now, more in a moment about Bill, but a special thanks goes out to Journeys with Rebecca Radio and all of my great affiliates. Now, check them out and more at my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And once you're there at the website, check out all the latest news under the Journeys News and, of course, the archives. I've got a lot of new and exciting announcements listed. And, of course, while you're there at the website, sign up for the free and totally confidential Journeys with Rebecca newsletter. It will keep you informed of any changes and the guests that you will hear on this show. Okay, back to my guest, Bill Sweet, A Journey into Prayer. You know, prayer is a constant mental input into our world. Do we pray for what we need or what we want? Do we pray to heal or to hurt? Terrorists pray. Healers pray. Millions pray. Stay tuned for A Journey into Prayer with Bill Sweet. We'll be right back.
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Prepare yourself for a journey of discovery and the answers that you've been looking for with the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to UniversalLearningSeries.com.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Again, my guest today is Bill Sweet. We are going to be taking a journey into prayer, specifically pioneers of prayer in the lab, agents of science or Satan. So let's welcome Bill to the show. Hi, Bill.
Hi there. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing well. I want to give everyone that website real quick. It's spin, S-P-I-N, drift.org. Is that correct?
Spindriftresearch.org.
Research.org.
Spindriftresearch.org.
Okay.
The word spindrift is a nautical term
right.
That we picked up to use for to distinguish our organization. It's the tip of a wave during a storm out at sea, and it has to do with the difference between water that is being blown around so fast that some of it turns to vapor and some of it turns back into water and drops down. It's right there at the cutting edge of the wave between the visible and the invisible world. And so that's how we got it to do with consciousness research. It's between the visible and the invisible world.
I love
it.
It's
a very turbulent area right there on the edge of consciousness. So that's where we came up with the word spindrift research.
Wow, awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, let's talk a little bit about Spindrift. You gave us the meaning of that. And then there's some founders of Spindrift. Their names were Bruce and John, I think, right?
Bruce and John Kleinbeil. I was so fortunate to meet them myself. I've always been interested in paranormal and religious issues and brought them together in the research here at Spindrift. And I happened to meet them through a social, went out with one of their daughters. And she told me about her father and her brother, Bruce and John Kleinbeil. And boy, when I met out about them, I did my best to get in contact with them right away. And ironically, all my interest had been in with people all over the country, and here these two guys were like three towns away from mine. And they were, Bruce and John were professional Christian Science practitioners. Christian Science practitioners are healers that pray for people. And they also had a strong natural science background, and they were discovering ways of combining religion, science, consciousness, and healing in a laboratory setting. And it just kind of like hit every interest I had, and I couldn't believe it. So I got involved in their group, the Spindrift group. There was about 12 of us amateur scientists. Several people in the group were also healers, and we brought people in to test as well as testing ourselves. And basically the idea was to come up with some basic science experiments that showed that prayer had a real effect. It wasn't just superstition or somebody saying, I believe this or I don't believe that, that there is something to it. Bruce and John had a lot of experience in healing, and they were finding out as the modern age was getting more advanced that people didn't have a healing. That was pretty clear cut, or prayer didn't work, but they were finding as practitioners that some people would have healings, and they'd be real grateful at the moment. But later on, they would dismiss it or say, oh, what happened anyway, or they didn't think they really had a healing, or they thought it was a placebo effect, and all these things came in. It was part of a culture, part of our undoing from our culture of disbelief. So they said, well, and then there are people who actually do believe things, but then they so overcompensate by describing a healing or a miracle or some psychic experience they have that it goes the other way, that it becomes something it wasn't originally.
Right.
So they wanted to hit an intermediate place. Let's show that there's something we can show in the laboratory. There's an actual phenomenon here. And so they developed ways of testing plants that were under stress, that were hooked up to computers and measuring equipment, and have different people come in from different religious backgrounds and pray for the plant to recover from some kind of stress. And it would be measured. And then there would be a control group where a plant was not being prayed for, that would be out of the mind and the sight of the person praying, and that would be compared against the plant that was prayed for. And the results were compared. And with many people, you could see that through the measurements that the plants were benefited by prayer. And that was a nice scientific test. And so we published our results, and we sent them out to a lot of different scientific people. And the Spindrift work, working in the background as a grassroots organization through the years, have influenced a lot of other people doing research, and a lot of other people with MDs and people at different institutions like that have picked up our work and have taken it to a higher level. So I've written my book, A Journey into Prayer by Bill Sweet, to tell the Spindrift story, because really nobody knows about it except the people in research and relatives and people who didn't like what we were doing. Those were the three people that knew about us, and that was about it.
Isn't that the way it goes? Always it's the ones that don't like you is the ones that's going to know about you, right?
Yeah, isn't that?
They always find that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting sociological phenomenon. One time we were actually, I wish they had carried it through, because then my story would have more gusto, but we had a bunch of couple church groups were going to have people march outside with posters and protest outside our laboratory that we were testing prayer. They threatened to do it. They never showed up, but they threatened to do it. So I could tell that much. But it's quite amazing.
Wow.
When you actually try to combine aspects of religion, parapsychology, and consciousness and science. And see, if you keep those things separate, it's okay. It's when you combine those things that when you have a combustible emotional reaction for people.
Right, right, right.
Keep them separate. It's okay. In fact, you can actually get into some very nice conversations about paranormal things and UFOs with people from different religions and Christians, everybody, you know, as long as it's on that subject. But then you try to bring it back into the subject of religion, and all of a sudden something pops. And it's just, you're in a fight.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, years ago when they had that big hoopla in the public schools and they took prayer out of the public schools, first of all, to me, and I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not a religious person. That doesn't mean I don't study religion. I don't believe that some of the religions have value for me. It's just that I don't follow one specifically.
Sure.
But I will tell you is that when they did that, when they took prayer out of school, where people cannot start their day, children cannot start their day,
yes,
with making the connection and, you know, that's to the source, whatever that source's name is to them, they've done a huge, huge disservice to our children.
Yes, well,
and even if all they did was just to offer 2 minutes of silent time in the morning, without using the word prayer, that people can be contemplative or being quiet, they can do whatever they want to utilize that time to do their prayer work, I think that that's what's needed.
A lot of people don't realize it because they're thinking that religion is something that people can do because the Constitution says you can do it or whatever your country believes or whatever.
But what does the soul tell you? But what does the soul tell you?
Well, it's built in. That's what the soul tells you.
Hello?
It says, you hear me? Yeah. And so the thing is that what we proposed to do, we never got grant money for it, but one of our projects that never got off the ground, I mean, we did a lot of things that did get off the ground, but this got to be too expensive. And, of course, we had to hire a full-time statistician to do this. We had the idea, and I read about this in the book, that the school prayer issue should be tested scientifically. Let's take it completely out of the area of religion, and let's just see, as a therapy, if prayer benefits children or not. Let's find out, and let's settle it that way. We won't bring up any religion. It'll be silent prayer, like you said, and let's just see that if the kids who are prayed for and who pray do better than kids who don't pray or not prayed for. That's a real simple thing to do, and we completely can take it out of the Constitution, and we can take it out of these separation of church and state and all that and say we're not even going to get into religion. Let's just see if this actually helps kids or not. I think that's the way to handle it. That's the way we felt it should be handled.
Well, and you know what? I think that's just that, you know, and of course you know that the reason why is because it makes sense, so why do it, right?
Did I say that? Forget about simple solutions.
Yeah, forget about that.
Well, it's too complex. Let's leave it that way.
Yeah, really. It makes it easier because we understand the complexity. Now, if you want to make it simple, oh, gosh, I don't know if we can get there from here.
This is another interesting point, too, that we feel that will have to be dealt with at some point through prayer clarity, more psychic ability, and more people getting tuned in to who they are and their spiritual self, on and on and on. Is that because society is more complex, more sophisticated, more materialistic, more interconnected even, all these things is actually kind of work against spirituality and psychic things, because what we're doing is that our busyness and all is interfering with each other. There's a lot more interference today than there was 100 years ago or 150 years ago.
Absolutely.
And we need to get clear-headed sometimes. And one of the things that we found helpful, now this is still... not provable, but we feel that there is something to it, and we're hoping that other researchers will pick it up. Spindra found that one way to ameliorate this problem, at least in theory, because, again, we couldn't prove it, but it made us feel better. So even if it was the placebo effect acting on us at Spindra, you know, the placebo effect has its benefits, too. I mean, if you feel better in a situation, anytime you get more relaxed, it's better. But we feel that if you can put healers and people praying in a Faraday cage, you can knock out some of the interference that's happening. Do you know what a Faraday cage is?
No.
Okay, well, Faraday cage, it's really basic theory of isolation. It's a lead or copper cage, and they're very interesting because they knock out electromagnetic radiation. So,
okay, I just didn't know that's the name of them. Okay.
People before the 19th century, for example, they didn't have to deal with radio waves and cell waves and microwaves and radar and all these things going through the air, plus all the other noise that the air is vibrating all the time from airplanes going over things. It was a completely different atmosphere, and it was more conducive, at least we feel so in theory, to psychic and spiritual thought. So you can reproduce some of that by being in a Faraday cage. Because when you're in the Faraday cage, you are knocking out all these radio transmissions. You can't answer your cell phone. That won't work in a Faraday cage. And we feel that that clears the mind and the body of a person. And I think if people are ever going to build chapels, any of your people out there build chapels or prayer rooms or meditation rooms, they should really seriously consider in the construction of the room, making the whole room in the walls a Faraday cage. It's an amazing feeling to go inside one.
Wow. I've actually never been in one, but I didn't realize that's what they were called. I've actually seen them before. I've just never been in one.
Yes. Well,
some lady brought one.
Very exciting feeling. In a way, if anybody, you or anybody else has been on cave tours, it's the same thing. Cave knocks out, knocks it out, too. It's the same sensation when you're deep in a cave.
Oh, well, I've been in those.
Oh, well, you know that that's quite an interesting feeling.
That is absolutely the, I can tell you from personally, when I was in the caves, it was like, really, I was melted with everything else. Everything was, I don't even know if that made any sense. Well, I just didn't feel like any separation.
It's a complete speculation, but we're wondering. This is completely speculative what I'm saying now, so don't really get saying scientific, but it would be interesting to know if the prayers of the early Christians that lived in the catacombs were somewhat benefited from being in the catacombs.
Perhaps.
It would seem reasonable. It would seem reasonable to us. It seems a reasonable guess, but there's no way of knowing. But the idea of the more that you're mentally and physically isolated, there is something to that. In fact, I might even add to you that there's been a lot of talk, as you know, about the secret.
Yes.
And I would like to share with you and your listeners, the secret of prayer, at least from the standpoint of Spindrift. Of course, we're borrowing this, where this isn't really Spindrift, but I'd like to tell you all what the secret of prayer is.
Okay.
It is to have a holy thought, to be clear for oneself. The secret is to think it in secret. Prayers have to be secret in our own thoughts. They have to be secret so they do not resonate out to other people. They're just resonating in us. That way we can be less confused by the noise of the material world around us. With quieter thoughts, we will be more alert to ourselves as spiritual individuals. Jesus Christ said, quote, "When you pray, go into a closet and shut the door. When the Father sees you praying in secret, he will reward you," end quote. That closet, that room, is the secret of prayer. Shut the door behind you and pray in secret in your own consciousness. Now that's the secret of prayer. And that is hard to achieve today in this noisy world.
And you know what? And when you do that, I'm going to carry that thought a little further. When you do that, when you're in that space where you're unimpeded, either right, in a cave or closet, whatever, and you have those prayer thoughts, because you are attuned to what you're saying to yourself, if it does not resonate or it's not within the higher self of who you are, you will know immediately that you're not wording it the way it's supposed to be. Does that make sense?
Oh.
I mean, I've caught myself doing that, and I was like, well, that's not exactly how I mean to say that. So, you know, it's kind of like erase that thought. Let's start all over again.
Well, again, if you're aware of, it's one thing to have a clear thought, but if you're aware of clarity on top of it, that's another whole level. That's great. Am I clear about being clear?
Does he know I'm clear about being clear, that I'm being clear? Yeah.
Well, then you're in the zone.
Yeah, you are in the zone.
I was at, last Christmas, a friend of mine is just one of the top violinists you've ever heard. I mean, he is just tops. And we were sitting there at a small Christmas concert, and we were listening to another violinist play. And I knew something was wrong. He knew something. Maybe I was picking up his thought. I mean, the person playing was a professional and everything, but there was something wrong. And basically what it was that this, I was used to hearing it played better. So I knew that even though the person up there was fine, everybody was enjoying him, I had heard it played on a higher level. So what was wrong was that it wasn't quite right, basically. And I think that that's sort of interesting, too, when we're praying. We may be praying incorrectly. And the more we're aware of what we're doing wrong, we can make corrections. But a lot of times we're just a little bit out of tune or something's not quite right. But if we could be aware of that and make course corrections, we would have a lot more effective prayers in the world.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when we're almost out of time on this segment. So what I want to do is kind of let's set everyone up for what's coming up. First of all, we will be talking today. This show is being recorded on 9/11. So, you know, there is a moment of silence that we are going to be sharing here at the end of this show today for that. But we are going to be getting into some conversations about 9/11. We're also going to be talking about prayers. What I guess is the best way of saying it is that people think of prayer as only good, but it can actually, you know, be bad effects from it as well, or ill-intended effects from it. So, Bill, you and I are going to be talking a little bit more about that when we come back off this break, and we're going to get into some more information about the differences in prayers and things of that nature. So this is going to be an exciting show, you guys. Do not go away. We're going to be right back with more of Bill Sweet, A Journey into Prayer.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues at www.cdbaby.com.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall, only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exists today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE, 1-800-729-SAVE.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us again here on the second part of my interview with Bill Sweet. We're talking about A Journey into Prayer. So those of you who have just joined us, that is today's topic, and we've just been talking about what prayer is and what it isn't. And we kind of talked there a little bit in the break, Bill, about a couple of things. And I know that there were some things that you wanted to kind of continue on with this conversation about the whole prayer thing.
Oh, sure. I was going to say that if somebody was interested in my book, they can, of course, get it through Amazon. And my publisher is xlibris.com. And if somebody doesn't have a computer, they can call my publisher at 1-888-795-4274. That's 1-888-795-4274. It's A Journey into Prayer. We had discovered at Spindrift that, you know, when you study positive prayer, you also end up studying negative prayer, because a lot of people pray negatively and they don't know it. Sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's not. Now, with a positive prayer, of course, that's what everybody listening to the show today, I'm sure, is into that. Whenever we pray with a good motive, a positive motive, it is transmitted into order, symmetry, and proportion. Proportion meaning what's right for the circumstances. This is what we desire in prayer, symmetry, order, and proportion. And when we have an affirmation, it's usually something along the line of, I'm harmonized and I'm vitalized to do the right thing. And the right thing is a very interesting subject, because we have, there may be many types of prayer, but Spindrift has developed two prayer styles that have been studied in the laboratory, and it's probably the feature of Spindrift that is most well known. We have goal-directed prayer, which is commonly called petitionary prayer. It's when you ask for a specific thing. And then we have non-goal-directed prayer, which is an open prayer, which tries to get the human ego out of the way and is open to what is best as a result. And they may be entirely different than what the person praying may think is best. Just be open to a solution. It can be something completely unanticipated. And we feel that that's the holier way to pray, because that's a thy will be done. And usually when thy will be done prayer, non-goal-directed prayer prayed, is prayed, what is happening is you are actually going to have a breakthrough because it's going to be something entirely different than anybody anticipated. And there's a couple reasons that the result will be better. One is you're not in a rut, so you're not looking for one, two, or three things to happen. It's going to be something you can't figure out what's going to happen. And two, the forces working against us in the world to block the effects of psychic power and spiritual power can't anticipate it either. They can anticipate the things you already know and you already have planned in your mind. But if it's a thy will be done prayer, they can't read that. So it's going to be something creative. And it's very interesting with inventions and a lot of other things in creative work in the world with artists and everything else. The real breakthroughs come with something that hasn't been done before. And then after that, it becomes harder because then what has been done now, even though it's been done for the first time, well, after a while, it becomes a routine and everybody knows about it and it gets bogged down and everything. But when it's fresh and spontaneous and unanticipated, that is the best. So when you pray a non-goal-directed prayer, it's thy will be done. It's praying for the unexpected. And that's what we feel is the more effective way to pray. Now, how does that tie in with the Spindrift experiments? Well, since the experiments could measure what goal-directed prayer could do when you ask specifically for something, we could see how plants were manipulated by people's thoughts. And a lot of times, plants would be manipulated. There would definitely be a psychic effect, healing effect on the plants that you could measure. But often it was in a direction for the plant that wasn't best for a plant. It was just moving the plant around in a manipulated way. So sometimes goal-directed prayer, even though it meant well, would manipulate a plant and it would send it in a direction it wasn't intended to go. But the people who prayed with a thy will be done prayer produced a result in the plant that was beneficial to the plant. It always was. So those were the two distinct patterns that we could measure in our results. Also, some people prayed and didn't get results too, and we could measure no results. But basically, we could measure these two patterns in the plants. Plants would be moving in a direction that helped them, or they'd be being manipulated and moving around and being changed by the person praying for them. And the person doing that usually thought that they were doing what was best for the plant, but they actually weren't. So we have to be very careful what we ask for, as they always say. Be careful what you ask for. You might get it.
Right.
Yes. Well, we have to be careful of it because if you want to make sure that what you ask for is in the divine will and not your will, because we're often wrong more than we're right. And this is true for everybody. I mean, I've done this myself in my own tests at Spindrift. I would pray for something to happen the way I thought it should be done. It turned out it wasn't. So if we can get rid of our ego and our own plans and just kind of give that up and be open to thy will be done, this is the most effective way to pray. And then the unexpected results come. And the unexpected results are, you know, how could you possibly, as a human being, know what a plant needs? It's something that the people working with the plants know, but you don't usually know. The people taking these tests usually don't know what the plants need, and they find out afterwards. So it's very interesting.
And, you know, I think that whole thing is very interesting because, really, when you're talking thy will be done, that's a non-judgmental. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that. You know, in the first segment when I talked to you about, you know, I would be in doing prayer work, and then it would be like partway through I would be like, no, that's it just didn't feel like it was right. And really what you are recognizing is that there was ego. You wanted it to turn out a certain way, whether you was playing for yourself or for somebody else.
Right.
But you see, that's not our job.
Our
job is not to figure it out. Our job is to simply put it out there.
The truth.
Right, because the truth will get to where it needs to go.
Correct.
We just have to learn to trust the process.
Correct, and we feel at Spindrift that we have some scientific evidence to back that up.
Well, and I absolutely love that. And the poor little plant that was manipulated, I feel so... Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
goes against its will, but yet it still would react to it.
It still reacts to it. It's so when the Bible talks about you pray amiss, you pray amiss. You may pray amiss, but you're still having an effect. Our thoughts are having effects. You know, let's hope they're the right ones. That's the problem. And this gets to be very kind of a scary thing because I think our tests reveal that we're affecting everything around us.
Oh, yeah, because thoughts are consciousness.
Right, and a lot of people believe that, but they actually have evidence for it. kind of puts it on the level. Well, now I can't just believe it. I just kind of have to worry about it. Now, what am I thinking? You
know? Right, exactly. We do have to be very cautious of that. I mean, we have to be aware of it. And it's not anything to put fear in people. It's just if you've got an awareness. And all that does is make you a better person. That's all it does.
Yes, and it does scare some people.
Sure.
But we have to get beyond that.
I know.
Because the next big change in the world is going to be a mental change, and we want to be on top of it, certainly. It's the consciousness people that have to be on top of it. If they're not going to be on top of it, who will?
That's right. Well, now, we were going to talk a little bit. You know, I brought up the 9/11 thing. So that kind of brings us into the next aspect of prayer, which is the good prayer versus the bad prayer. And even though in the case study that you did with the plants,
yes,
even though the people were praying and they were trying to do good things, we've seen where the one was manipulated.
Yes.
That's still not what we're talking about, though,
no,
here.
No, that would be unintentional harm
right.
to the plants.
Right, right.
But some people pray with intentional harm.
Right.
And we are studying some of these prayers of the terrorists, for example. And it's very interesting to see how they create evil and confusion and messes with their prayers. It's really amazing. And a lot of people just can't face up to this. I gave a talk at a conference last summer, and I had people come up to me and they said, I just cannot conceive in my mind prayer being used for evil. And I said, well, until you do, you will not understand that there's this other type of prayer and it's causing a lot of trouble. And people purposely, on purpose, pray to destroy things. And we have to be aware of that. There's dark prayers out there. And this is why we have to understand the goodness of prayer so that it overcomes this. And it's interesting to me, too, and this is kind of something we really got to notice, that it seems like the people who use prayer to malpractice and use toward evil know more about how to do that than the people who are using prayer to be good, because the people who are using prayer to be good are so innocent and not aware of these other things that they're being beaten up and influenced and they don't even know it. And the other people know it. So we have to really kind of be what the Bible calls, we have to be as wise as serpents. Wise as serpents. We have to be as wise as serpents. We can't just go around with our head in the cloud.
That's right.
And it's tough for people because a lot of people do not want to think that. And I wouldn't be surprised if some people right now, they just decided not to look into Spindrift just because of that. It's just people just do not want to face this. And the problem with 9/11 is that not only were the hijackers and everybody else praying for years and years against us, and I had some background in this before it happened, and I just never thought it would happen, but 9/11 sure changed my mind. The thing is that we have to pray every day to protect ourselves, just like going into a Faraday cage and protecting yourself from electromagnetic radiation. We have to protect ourselves from evil prayers out there manipulating us to do this, that, or the other we shouldn't be doing, or sometimes, like when we feel lethargic or sloth or something, we should be doing. This is another thing that's coming to us. We're supposed to be doing important work, and yet something's cutting us off from our mission. Something's come along to distract us. I know a number of people, and I'm sure you do too, that should be doing certain things in their lives, and these other things come up, and they completely sabotage what they're supposed to be doing. That comes from negative prayer, too. There's something in consciousness where people are being stopped from what they're supposed to be doing, and we have to know that nothing can stop each of us from our individual mission.
And that's very good advice. And that's, and you know, for the people that are listening, you know, it's not unlike anything else. You know, you can use a vehicle as an example to get from point A to point B, do your grocery shopping, pick your kids up from school, go to work, take a vacation. You can use it to travel around the country, whatever the case may be. Or you can also take that vehicle and you can run somebody over with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that people get very upset because of the nature of what we're talking about, which is prayer. It should be something that's holy and sacred. And yes, I agree, it should be. But, you know, that just doesn't mean that that's the way it's being used. And
it's
so we have to be aware of that. We do have to be aware of it. Not be afraid of it, but be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness is a new word, in a sense, because it's beyond what people understand the word awareness is. It's much deeper than that. It means you must tune into self. And self will tell you, because it's connected to the source, to the creator, whatever you wish to call it, it will tell you if something isn't right in your world.
Yeah, I agree.
It will tell you. You will, and you just have to learn to listen to the subtle energies. And that gets back to your earlier conversation, Bill, when we're talking about all the noises, the airplanes, the cars, the cell phones, the microwaves, you know, the radio waves.
There's so much more to deal with today. It's unbelievable. There's even consciousness movement.
I know. We have to be stronger than the environment we live in.
Oh, we do, and we have so much work to do. And there is something that things were less confused and simpler in the past. There is something to it. I'm not one of these people to dwell on the past, but the world today is not the world I remember.
And you know, it mine isn't either. And you know, I grew up on a farming community is where I grew up in, mm-hmm. And we had the first television set. I think I was probably 7 or 8 before we got our first television set.
Hmm.
And, of course, you know, then they only had 3 channels. That's all you could watch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, it was a big deal. But, you know, I mean, there was no cell phones. There was no computers. There was no video games. There was, you know, we had a party line for telephone. You just didn't use the phone because every time you used it, it cost you money.
I always recommend people visit different religions to find out what other people are thinking. You just gave me an idea.
Oh, no.
Maybe people should visit the Amish community just to see how they live, just to see how they are not affected by all this. It would just be an interesting thing for people to be exposed to.
Well, we have some Amish communities here, and I actually do business with the Amish.
Really?
Yes. I go and... I go in and purchase some of their foods because their foods are organic normally.
Oh.
You know, they don't get into all of that.
No, I didn't think of that.
And they're very sweet. I mean, whenever you're there on their property, because usually their little stores are on their, you know, where they farm and they live and everything,
mm-hmm.
they seem to be most of them seem to be very peaceful with the life they are in. They don't seem to have the same kind of stress like you and I do.
Yes.
Or the rest of the world. So it's
interesting. They don't. So this fits right into the point.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that we have to be aware of that are, if we are interested in actually becoming more spiritual and more aware in this more, increasingly more materialistic world, it's going to get worse. We have to find ways to get to that. There's just no way around it.
Well,
and then we have the terrorism on top of it.
Oh, I know.
We live in a mess. You know, the terrorism, we all know, causes terror, but there's another thing terrorists want, and they want to cause confusion. And we can't be confused. Confusion is what, in everyone's mind, is what causes us to get distracted. And the terrorists' hope is that the way they pray, that we'll all be confused. So we have to make sure that we're praying not to be confused and have a clear thought. We have to do that all the time.
Yes, pray for clarity.
Pray for clarity all the time.
Yes, yes. And that's not that hard to do, guys.
No.
It's not that hard to do. It's
no,
not that
but
hard
if you
to
don't do it, you're going to find that you're going to be really thrown off track.
And I have to agree. And you know, we talk about it. But, you know, the one thing that I do want to say here, Bill, is that most people do look at prayer as belonging to religion, and it doesn't. You don't have to be a religious person to pray.
Yeah, this gets into the politics of prayer.
Right.
I have a chapter on that. That's right. Some religions absolutely control prayer.
Yes.
They control it.
Yes.
It's kind of an interesting thing.
It's kind of scary.
It's very
too.
Funny to me. I mean, to me, some people actually believe, you know, God only listens to their prayers within their group. I says, this is really something. This is the 21st century, and they believe that.
I know. It's craziness, isn't it? It is. It's something else.
You have to laugh at it, I guess.
Well, you know, what else are you going to do? You just can't worry about what everybody else thinks and just follow what you know is
it
true.
It reminds me of a joke. Did you hear about the fundamentalist preacher that was in the hospital? And the doctors released him from the hospital, the fundamentalist preacher, and the doctors announced that we, on a press conference, that we released the fundamentalist from the hospital. We upgraded his condition from critical to judgmental.
Oh, yay! That's cute.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a good note to leave us on. Bill, why don't you give us your web address and how people can get a hold of you so they can get a hold of the book?
Yeah, well, they can call me up. I'm through my website, through our website, excuse me. See, I was getting, see how my will got in there right?
There you go,
website.
I love it.
SpindriffResearch.org. SpindriffResearch.org is the website. My book is A Journey into Prayer by Bill Sweet, and you can certainly, you know, you can go to Amazon, but the best way to do it would go to my publisher, xlibris.com, xlibris.com. If you want to use your telephone, it's 1-888-795-4274. It's both hard and soft cover. It tells the story of Spindrift. It tells about the experiments. It tells about our experiences. And there's a lot of insights into consciousness research as well as prayer, ways to pray. So I hope everybody enjoys that, and I enjoyed being on your program today.
Well, and I enjoyed having you, and I know the audience did too. And so for the audience, you guys hang around, and we'll be right back.
Prepare yourself for a journey of discovery and the answers that you've been looking for. With the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine, containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 800-728-2730. Or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Hi, this is Rebecca. This is the place where your journey begins. Is your career or business headed in the right direction? Is your love life all it can be, or is it missing something? Perhaps you're still looking for that someone special. And those closest to you, will what they do influence or affect you? For truthful, accurate, and compassionate answers to your unique life's journey, contact me by calling 1-888-958-2768 to schedule your personal and private reading. Where will your life's journey take you?
Don't forget to find out where your life's journey will lead you. Call Rebecca to set up your personal and private reading at 1-888-958-2768. That's 1-888-958-2768.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. That was a great conversation with Bill Sweet, A Journey into Prayer. You know, as we have been discussing something as intangible as prayer, I'm going to be talking about my trip coming up September 28th and 29th when I'll be broadcasting live from the Queen Mary for the Ghost Fest 2 weekend. Now, I urge you to go to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and view the video on the Queen Mary. It is a short clip that will give you some insight as to the activities that are present there. Ghosts, perhaps? You know, the Queen Mary has had a very colorful past filled with much energy. It started in 1936. Now just sit with that for a moment. 1936. It was a luxury ship when it first built. It later became a World War II troop transport. And then, after the war, was again restored to become a luxury liner yet again. You know, many famous people have taken a trip on this magnificent ship, and many more still took a voyage on the Queen Mary just for the experience of it all. So much energy aboard this ship, and this energy is what I'm going to be experiencing on September 28th and 29th. So although I'm going to broadcast, there will be a good amount of time for me to go exploring on my own and do some of my own investigations of the energies of the past that may still reside there. So let's chat about ghosts. What are they? There are many different descriptions from people who are considered ghost hunters to those who are parapsychologists, to psychics, mediums, and the like. There are people, just ordinary people, if you will, that have their own opinion as well. Oh, and let us not forget about those who are disbelievers altogether. Well, as evidenced by the short video clip on my website, there is something there, and I, for one, intend on exploration of the phenomena that exist on the Queen Mary. Ghosts, spirits, apparitions, poltergeists are all in a similar category. Ghosts appear to many as a spectral-type force, one that can be seen, and many times felt, such as coldness in the room, the feeling of being touched by something. They've been known even to leave marks of their presence on some. You know, ghosts many times are people who have died, which means they existed as a human being here on Earth. The other kind, not of the earthly realm, we're not going to talk about that today. You know, many times when a ghost is present or makes itself known can mean that it's trapped between the worlds or planes. They no longer have a physical body, but the consciousness of who they were still resides here and can be felt or made known to others who are around them or in the area. You know, I've found through my years of dealing with those who have passed on that ghosts just don't know how to get to the other side. And communicating with them and the angelic realm can assist them in completing that part of their journey so that they can be at peace and return fully to the collective consciousness, if you will. Now, on occasion, you'll find some that choose not to leave or cross over, and a very few still that have unfinished business to attend to, and it's just not time. But we'll have to add a few more things into the mix here. Residual energies. Everything around us is energy. So you can pick up on an event that may have happened hundreds of years ago and has nothing to do with someone dying there. It's just the energy of the event or situation is still very prominent and you can perceive it. So it takes discernment and training to know how to distinguish whether something is a residual energy or if it belongs to something or someone that's not moved on yet. You know, many times a ghostbuster will find evidence of a ghost and then that's it. They're done. So what happens to that soul that they have left there, the one that has been recognized? Most of the time, they're just left. That's it. You know, it wishes to communicate, and although not all of them are nice, all of them can be communicated with on some level. Well, I'm going to be contacting those ghosts and spirits on the Queen Mary, and we'll get the information from those who choose to communicate with me. And I'm going to try to bring that back with some audio and hopefully some video that I can share with you guys later. This is going to be awesome. So please write to me, send in questions, stories, pics, because I'll be taking them with me on the Queen Mary and answer and share them with everyone while I'm broadcasting. So that's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Put Queen Mary in the subject line and I'm going to take them with me. Oh, and don't forget to check the website for times on Friday and Saturday of this special broadcast live from the Queen Mary. All the information that you'll need to listen to the show can be found on my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. See you there. Journeys is always looking for informed, entertaining, and passionate guests. Email your guest suggestion to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We all have to take responsibility for our own health. Study and research suggests that if we give the body the right tools, it can correct most imbalances caused by today's poor nutrition, stress, and environmental pollution. Our garden offers products made from the highest quality ingredients to ensure that you get the maximum health benefits from the products. Now, a new product in the line is Resveratrol Complex. Now, it is a proprietary blend of Resveratrol 25, red wine extract, grapeseed extract, and pine bark extract. Now, television and newspaper medias have featured stories about the health benefits of red wine. citing research that suggests that red wine may lower the risk of developing certain diseases. Other research studies from around the world on the polyphenols found in red wine and other plants suggest that the polyphenols may help improve overall health and longevity. So try your risk-free resveratrol complex now and discover how really great you can feel and look. Order yours now at perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net. You know, we all have to be aware that our food products are just not as safe as they used to be. Well, and certainly that is true of our pet's food supply as well. So here's your answer to knowing you're giving your pet the best and safest food. Log on to JourneysWithRebecca.com and click on the Natural Pet banner link and check them out. You'll be glad you did, and so will your pet.
Prince Anthony was the handsomest man in the entire kingdom.
Ma'am, am I handsome?
His fondest wish was to find a beautiful bride.
Of course, she doesn't have to be as stunning as me.
But Prince Anthony couldn't find one. Why? Well, because he never left the palace.
Being this pretty isn't easy.
He spent all day lifting weights and getting his back waxed.
Ow!
And trimming and grooming and tweezing and plucking.
Perfecting perfection.
Meanwhile, his less good-looking but far more charming brother Benji found a bride. So did his rather unattractive cousins and even his flat-out butt-ugly Uncle Stanley.
I don't understand it. I am way better looking than any of them.
Unfortunately, none of the women in the kingdom knew this because none of them had ever seen him.
But if they ever did.
But they didn't. So Prince Anthony spent his entire life all alone until he was old and toothless, bald and fat, saggy and rather flabby.
At least my back isn't very hairy.
You may have the best product or service in the world, but if nobody knows about it, you just have the best product or service in the world. It's called advertising, and it works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? This message brought to you by this station, Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and the famous Radio Ranch.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby. You know the expression, practice makes perfect? Well, it certainly is true in music. And practicing music is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend his time, or her time. A young person who studies music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All qualities kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. Parents, think about encouraging your kids to try out several instruments at school until they find the one that they really like, the one that really clicks for them. Get to know the school's music teacher and encourage your child to join school music ensembles. And please don't forget that your kids all have an instrument that's free and sounds wonderful, their voices.
A back-to-school PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, it wires the brain for learning.
Find out more about a show topic or guest. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, and thanks again to my great guest today, and that was Bill Sweet, and you can reach his website, that's www.spindriftresearch.org, and you can reach that from my website, journeyswithrebecca.com. And of course, while you're there, please be sure to check out the sponsors of Journeys, that's Fate Magazine, fatemag.com, perfectlyorganic.net, for the best supplements ever, and Sandy Andrew, UniversalLearningSeries.com, and of course all the affiliates that you'll find, their banner links throughout the website. Please support Journeys with Rebecca by supporting our sponsors and affiliates. Okay, now under the Journeys News section, you're going to find all the latest events, and of course I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Queen Mary for the Ghost Fest 2. That's this Friday and Saturday, September 28th and 29th, airing right here on KCI Online Radio. So be sure to get those questions on ghosts, spirits, EVPs, hauntings to mailbag at journeyswithrebecca.com, and be sure to listen in. Of course, all the times are posted on the website. This is going to be a great time, so go ahead, join in the fun, and send me those questions. Now, in October, I'm going to be at the Learning Annex on the Paranormal 411 panel, so you can click on that link for more information on this cool event. And again, I want to make sure that you all know that I do two shows each week. One is a live show, and again, that one on this Saturday is going to be for the Ghost Fest 2. Tune in for that. And don't forget to sign up for the free and confidential newsletter that I send out each week. What a joy and honor to be with you here today. So, until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.